Some of us last election day were like the end of The Empire Strikes Back. We're missing a hand. We're kind of wondering if the rebellion can survive. And some of us were celebrating in the Ewok Village. Joining us now in the Genuine Autoglass studio line is one of those people who is eating the Stormtrooper meat. That's Dave Rubin, host of The Rubin Report. Thanks so much for being with us today, buddy.
Live from Ewok Village here in the free state of Florida. It's Dave Rubin. That's right. Yes, I am free. I am happy. There are constant celebrations. I don't pay income tax. I have a functional government, a wonderful governor. People smile at you on the street. It's incredible. Thank you. Goodbye.
I remember when it used to be like that here in Seattle. That's why I moved here from New York. It looks like I went the wrong direction. I went west and I should have headed south.
Well, you had the right idea, I guess, at one point. I would imagine Seattle maybe 20 years ago, something like that. But, you know, the last two or three times that I've been in Seattle over the last, say, 6-7 years, a couple tour stops there and some comedy shows and things, you know, it's Antifa Central over there. And it's unfortunate what they've done with homelessness and the crime and the rest of it. I don't think you guys are quite at San Francisco level, but you're probably close.
Yeah, and Portland beats us on the Antifa scale, but we're not far behind. In fact, the same people go back and forth between the two cities. It's depressing. So tell me, Dave, what did you guys do right? Because from my perspective, I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, of course, 400,000 people moved from New York who appear to have been conservative, and that's one way to win an election, but it had to be more than that. It couldn't have just been the mass exodus. What did Florida do right that can be replicated elsewhere?
Well, it's a couple things. It partly is that good people moved here and then voted the right way. It's obviously not only the 400 from New York, but, you know, it's at least 300 from Cali. So the numbers just massively shifted. Let's not forget, DeSantis, who just won by 20 points, which is basically unheard of in modern times, he only won his last election by 30,000 votes. It's only 4 years ago, 30,000 votes. And the guy that he beat turned out to be a meth addict. I mean, he was literally arrested at an orgy doing meth. So, you know, this state was very close to going the other direction. And then what happened was, you know, there's always the question, you know, do leaders, are they born leaders? Do they step into leadership? How does it happen? I think DeSantis, his life through being in the Navy, all of his training as a lawyer, everything that led him, you know, being in the Congress and being a part of the Freedom Caucus, everything that he has done, being a good family man with three kids, it led him to this moment of leadership. And he fought to keep the state open. He fought to keep American principles in order. And then people rewarded him for that. I am very proud to say, you know, I'm not even a year at in Florida yet. It's 11 months and about a week. But this is the, you know, as we roll into Thanksgiving, as thankful as I could possibly be to be here, because freedom lives here, and this is the blueprint for a free America that hopefully we can export and get some other states interested in.
You also get to raise your children there, and mazel tov on that, by the way. You have two of them now, right?
That's got
to
be exhausting. Are you hearing a crying baby back there?
I'm thinking to myself, man, I remember those days. I got a kid who's 18 now, which makes me feel really, really old. You and I are contemporaries, and I'm like, holy cow, where did the time go? But talking about DeSantis,
if your kid was crying in the background, that would be far more awkward than my kid.
That's a very fair point. So this weekend, I was at the Republican Jewish Coalition event, which was what they called the kosher cattle car for all these different candidates. DeSantis got the warmest reception of the night. And I remember sitting there thinking, because I'm a big DeSantis guy, I remember they're sitting there thinking, nobody knew who this guy was 5 years ago, at least outside of Florida. Nobody knew who he was. And now a lot of people would say he's the presumptive nominee or the front runner to be the Republican nominee for president. You're right. It doesn't just happen. Somebody has to step into that leadership role, because they're not saying that about too many other people.
No, well, what's interesting is, you know, it was just one thing at a time that he did right. So he did lockdowns right. He made sure that kids weren't going to get masked and were going to go to school. He started fighting critical race theory in the schools. He started fighting the gender stuff. It was really as if he just looked at a map and said, hey, I want to progress to this place. Let's say the end of the place he wanted to get to, if it's a board game or a video game, was just Freedom Town. You know, let people live as they see fit, which is what they voted him in for. They just didn't realize 4 years ago how extreme it was going to get with COVID and everything else. And he just one at a time took on the challenges. Let's not forget, this guy only 6 months ago was in a massive massive public fight with Disney. And not only did he win, because the proof's in the pudding of his 20-point win, but the CEO of Disney, Bob Chapek, just stepped down this week because of all the woke nonsense that was at the company. And we know how many people have canceled Disney Plus and are not going to the movies, and the brand is hurting right now. And obviously, they're going to actually fall more in line now with DeSantis' beliefs than the woke beliefs. That's clearly what's happening here. So, you know, when you pick the right fights, when you do the right thing, I think people follow you. DeSantis even says that often. I don't think he's really there to be because he loves the applause. You know, some people love the applause. I think he really thinks, hey, these people voted me in. I'm supposed to just ensure that they can live how they want. And that's pretty much it. So I'm glad to hear that you felt that he was the presumptive nominee there and that he got the big applause. I don't know if he's going to run for president. And I can tell you, as a Floridian, we would be very remiss if he was not our governor. But this might just be the opportunity. And I sense a sort of Reagan-esque thing with him. And I don't know how it could get much better as a politician. And I say that as someone, I don't worship politicians. I don't think he's my savior or anything else. I think he is a man doing a good job. And competency is not that rewarded these days, but that's partly what we got to turn around here.
We're talking with Dave Rubin, host of The Rubin Report. And when people say, Ari, who do you listen to? I listen to Dave Rubin every single day on my way home from the show, just FYI for everybody. So you should definitely subscribe to his podcast. And then you can tell me what he says that you disagree with, where you liked my show better. Totally kidding, buddy. But what struck out for me with his, or it really hit home with me with his speech at this event, was he talked about how if Republicans don't start ballot harvesting, they're going to keep losing. And that's something I've been saying for years. I mean, literally, we've had mail-in balloting here in Washington State for 10 years. It's been a disaster the entire time. And just like with social media, once Republicans figure out how to weaponize something, then the Democrats will say, oh, we really need to do something about it. I think that's the only way we stop this mail-in insanity.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, having lived in California for the last 8 years where I didn't have to show an ID, not only didn't have to show, you couldn't show an ID. They'd freak out if you took your ID out. I accidentally did it once. I took my ID out, just sort of, it was by default. I'm walking into a polling place. You think you're going to show an ID. The woman actually almost fell out of her chair. Here in Florida, it was so refreshing to take out an ID, have someone confirm that with the address, hand me a piece of paper, use a pen to fill out everything, put it in an envelope, then walk it physically myself to a drop box where there was another man, confirmed my ID, put it in. It felt secure. And guess what? Florida then was able to announce the election. I mean, it was such a landslide that they could do it early. But the point is that the ballots were in and being counted early by 7:30 or so. It was announced that he had won, and the numbers didn't change tremendously after that. No one in their right mind is yelling because it's fraud here in Florida. The only person who had heard say that is Anna Navarro, who's a lunatic on The View, who actually, of course, she lives in Florida. For some reason, she doesn't leave. But the point is, he secured the election. And I think you're right about the ballot harvesting, the early voting, all of these things. You know, part of the problem, even if you were to say that the Democrats aren't doing anything untoward, that they're not doing anything shady or anything else, part of the problem here is with all this, all these ballot drop boxes and all this late voting, you know, people, we call it election day. We don't call it election week. So even if they're doing nothing wrong with any of these things, and this is genuinely just the process, and I'm actually not saying that's the case, but giving them the benefit of the doubt for the moment, the idea that an election doesn't get called that night or the next day or the next day or the next day, L.A. mayor's race, what's going on in Arizona, et cetera, that inherently then creates suspicion in the system. And that suspicion then depresses people. And then people don't go out and vote. And they don't believe any of it works. And, you know, the second we stop believing that this works, that's when it stops working. And that's what we got to watch out for. But I think actually, in some ways, the Democrats want that baked into the system. I think they really love the fact that if you look at the 2020 election, presidential election, that by, you know, around 11 p.m. on election night, Trump was winning in all of those states. And then the pipe burst in Philly, and next thing you know, Trump loses. I think they like the fact that it takes a week to get the Senate and gubernatorial election results in Arizona, and then, of course, it's the Democrats who win both. I think that they're playing some twisted games, and to some extent, you're right. If we don't learn to play some games back, This will just keep happening over and over and over again.
Right. I keep telling Republicans all the time, I'm like, guys, you can get as queasy as you want about this stuff, but you can't change until you're in office. And until you get into office, you got to play by these rules. You're going to keep losing. Just before we let you go, Dave, host of the Rubin Report, we're talking to Dave Rubin himself. I'm looking at this insanity out of Arizona, and I find it entertaining how in 2020, in 2000, with regard to what happened in Florida, you had everybody in the media going nuts about what was happening in Florida, and yet you have counties that are refusing to certify the election in Arizona. This should be front page news on every outlet, and of course, nobody wants to cover it. The hypocrisy is insane. Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, hypocrisy, it's like, we got to get over hypocrisy. I know you know that, because it doesn't do anything. It does, you know, I think it was Ronald Reagan said that if the left didn't have double standards, they'd have no standards at all. We have to get over these concepts, because it's not that they're wrong. Of course, hypocrisy exists and should be called out, double standards, all these things. But at the end of the day, the machine operates in a certain way to always help the Democrats. We all know this. Corporate press operates to help the Democrats. You don't even have to look past, you could look past the Arizona election. Just look what's going on, even with the Hunter Biden laptop story in the last 2 days. For 2.5 years, a whole bunch of us were screaming that this thing's real. New York Post was standing by their story, everything else. Now CBS News, which literally interviewed Donald Trump on 60 Minutes 2 years ago, he's saying it's real and they're saying it's not. Now they're admitting it's real. It's like, the truth is on a time delay capsule, basically. And unfortunately, in case like you're bringing up in Arizona, had it gone the other way, if the Republicans were leading right now and there was any chance they could fix it for the Dems, well, of course we'd be hearing about it. But they like the results that they got. And how bizarre, Ari, that Katie Hobbs, the winner of the governor's race, also happens to be the one overseeing the election. So crazy, don't you think?
Exactly. It's the same kind of nonsense we deal with here in Washington all the time. Dave Rubin, host of The Rubin Report, one of my absolute favorite shows, one of my absolute favorite hosts, and one of my absolute favorite guests. Thank you so much for joining us today, buddy.
Hey, listen, happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners. And just remember, all you Seattle Northwest people, plenty of room in the free state of Florida as long as you're going to vote the right way.
See, there he goes. Trying to take my audience down to Florida. But no, you got a great point there, buddy. Dave Rubin, thanks so much for joining us today. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.